You might like to turn in your Bible to Genesis and chapter 6. Genesis and chapter 6. And if I may, we'll have a word of prayer and God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts as we have opened thy word again, that we would have the benefit of all of yesterday as we proceed into tomorrow. And our God, we're going to thank you in it all, in Christ's name, amen. And in Genesis chapter 6, you would recall in the Genesis flood, and in the process, the believers are there up to a point. And chapter 5, you'll pick it up and read right next door. Enoch lived 60, verse 21, lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, etc. Verse 23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So, if you're living back then, what do you know? All of a sudden, we're living, just think of the world, society, you're living in it, and all the believers, God took Enoch, just took him, like he's going to take us in a moment, but all the rest of them died. They all died. So there's only one man left, Noah. So you have to understand that. So Noah and Enoch walked with God, and we know in verse chapter 6, verse 8, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So he walked with God. He found grace. He found God's grace. That's the first place the word is used in the Bible, God's grace. And Noah did. Now, I want you to just capitalize on that. If you were Noah, here you are for 120 years building the ark, etc., with your family, and you're building it. Now, so as we come to the end of 120 years, how many people, we've been living 120 years building the ark, so how many people are saved? How many people do you have fellowship with? How many people do you do anything with? There aren't any. There aren't any believers. There aren't any God seekers. There's no God fearers. But just Noah and his three sons and their wives. There's no one else. Now that's the, I can't think of a worse scenario. Your whole situation, your whole world is negative, unbelieving. But can God keep anyone in such a world? Think of the tribulation coming up. Can God keep anyone in such a world? Yes. How so? Noah found grace and he walked with God. In the midst of everything's against him, there's no one around, there's nowhere to go. Just God. And God kept him in a most wonderful way. That's grace. God's able to keep, when everything is zero, God's able to keep his wonderful grace in his most wonderful way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, Noah found grace. And the word grace has to do, this grace means inclination, a bending, an inclining, a leaning, bending down to show favor, bending down to relate favor. looking down, to save, to help, to encourage, bending down. The word grace, to bend down before God, by God. God, Noah, found grace. He found favor. He found God's grace to be God bent down and inclined himself to Noah. And Noah walked with God. And that's how he did it. You say it can't be done. God just did it. Just gone. Everything zero. What have you got going for you? God. You can list all the things you want about work, home, school, play, family, friends, enemies. Do it. When you're done, though, God is there. Now, having said that, with our word grace, with that, I can't think of a worse scenario except the tribulation. I think that's worse. But over, if you would please, now to Exodus, take it a little further to that which you're familiar with. And in Exodus chapter 33, picking up if I can, and you will note, you remember the conversation Moses had with God as they've gone and had the golden calf and all of that idolatry, and God would put him aside, but God is going to be gracious. And in the process, that's what he found. Now Noah found grace, and Moses found grace. That's what they find. Moses. I don't know about the people, but Moses found it. Moses knew it. So Moses capitalizes on it, since he's been given an assignment to take Israel through the wilderness, etc., to the promised land. So therefore, when we read in chapter 33, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. In other words, I can't do it alone, Moses said. There's no way I can take this crowd. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. That's Moses' personal relationship. I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Thou hast found grace. So God found his Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, Moses. And Moses knew that. So now, Moses knew he found grace. So that's what he's looking for. Same word. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thine eyes, and he did, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace, and more favor in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. So God, you have an obligation to honor what you've said and what you're doing and why you're doing it. And so Moses is counting on God's grace in his most wonderful way. Verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in the that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? Moses knew that. They were to be set apart, sanctified, a people that was out in the middle of the Sinai desert, to be gods in a most wonderful way. That's grace. That's grace. And Moses is looking for that grace in a most wonderful way. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. So God, Moses found grace in God's sight. Now, hang on, a little question you would ask yourself. I want to find grace. Noah found grace, and Moses found grace. Do I find grace? We're in the presence of God. do I find grace? People all over, thousands and millions of people on earth. They aren't finding grace, no more than in the days of Noah. God, am I finding grace? Finding grace, hang on to that. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here, looking at that, God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So, now, and we shared last time, not last time, but right a couple of times ago, God's wrath. And when we looked at God's wrath, remember there were nine words in the Hebrew language, etc., involving, in all nine words, all definitions involve anger. So whenever you read wrath, it's always, think of the word anger, and you'll be in the ballpark. Angry, anger, anger, anger. So God, here we are looking. The word to be Passover, to overflow, the overflow of anger. Something's overflowing. The cup is overflowing with anger, coming out. Anger, and then it overflows. Wrath, wrath. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so here's, and jumping, just do it, but you know, the works are human nature, our old nature. What do we know that's part of our old nature? Galatians 5 and verse 20, one of the problems of our works of our flesh is idolatry and wrath. There's your word, New Testament, wrath of God. So we don't have to worry, it's angry, wrath, wrath, wrath. That's what people do. People do, and that's what's going to happen in the tribulation. That's what's going to happen. And we shared together when we did that, the wrath of God as we followed it through the history to where we are, to where we're going. And in the tribulation coming up, it's all about wrath. All about wrath, coming up 13 times. And that's the wrath of God. The wrath of God is being exercised, moving on the people. Now, why is it moving on the people? Because the people are in rebellion against God. They are not looking to God. And nicest person you know, quiet, calm, peaceful, wonderful. But if you bring it up in the right way, do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Have you received Him as your Savior? And the defense mechanism goes up unless you're open, goes up. And then you're going to go, and the nice little old lady isn't going to be nice much longer. You keep pressing that, they're going to react. That's the way it is. So we got wrath. Now, having said that, and the tribulation, all the wrath, we did all that last time. So you see it, you can't miss it. So let's put that in the light of Galatians 5:20, wrath, our nature, in the light of humans, like in Genesis 6, they're in rebellion against God. And the tribulation, they are an outward rebellion against God. So over to Romans chapter 1 for a moment. And just, you know it, but just make a little mental note. Romans in chapter 1. And picking up, if I may, in chapter 1, if I can get there. And you'll notice the sequence that begins, verse 18, about why people are lost, why people aren't saved. Why people don't know the grace of God. Verse 18, 1 and 18, why? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What is the problem? In the days of Noah, they are against truth, against God. Sliding down to verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So they went and served. They didn't honor God, wouldn't honor God, didn't do it. And God's wrath is there. And you know the wrath is there over the humans, because humans have, their old nature is against God, anger against God, wrath, idolatry, all in our old nature. And so therefore, we know in John 3:36, you don't have to turn there, that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he saves us. But if not, 36, the wrath of God abideth where? On us. Remember we said the pendulum, etc. The wrath of God abideth on us. Let's see. We're just waiting. What are we waiting for? It's a time of grace. And not ready for the wrath. Tribulation is the wrath. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and as you come to, as you know, Habakkuk and Zephaniah and that, they're telling you about the wrath of God. God be in the midst of wrath, Nebuchadnezzar judging Jerusalem and that, in the midst of wrath, be merciful, Habakkuk 3:2. So, now, having said that, we come into the New Testament. And go over with me, please, to the Gospel of John, and make sure we get that part. So we know the wrath of God is there. God is there. People are doing what they're doing, and they say, well, they don't care about God. They don't think about God. They don't walk with God. That's fine. The day's coming. Not yet. It's grace. Wrath is coming. Wrath was. Waiting. Will be. Wrath. So don't have to worry about it. It's just there, no matter how you do it. Now, so over if I can the Gospel of John, and in chapter 1, and you would guess it and know it, but look at it. What are you saying when you look at John chapter 1? The Lord Jesus Christ, God became flesh, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And the Word was made flesh, 1:14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, unique of the Father. What is so awesome about him? He is full of grace and truth. He's full of grace. He is the grace of God. Grace is giving, as you'll see, giving, providing favor. God is providing a Savior that he promised before the foundation of the world. So, the Lord Jesus Christ is, when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I receive the grace of God. That's why we're saved by grace. I receive the grace of God. I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's an awesome thing. And when I receive the Lord as my Savior, what did I receive? I received the grace that is in God, for God, from God. I'm going to receive grace in God, in Christ, in my heart. Now, hang on. So that grace, remember Noah walked with God in the darkness. Enoch walked with God in a darkening world. It got real dark when Noah was around because all the believers are gone. So there's no one there except Noah. And that's something else. Now, having said that, verse 16, and of his fullness, what's he full of? Verse 14, he's full of grace and truth. Verse 16, of his fullness, he's full of grace and truth. Okay? Well, he's full of grace and truth. Now, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received, remember, John 1:12, as many as received him, that's how, verse 12, that's how you got saved. And how do you enjoy God? Verse 16, you received him as your Savior, and he is full of grace and truth. And when you received him as your Savior, verse 16, we received grace, verse 16, grace for, in place of grace, like the ocean we've said 1,000 times, The wave after wave never stops. Why not? Why does it never stop? The grace you had this morning is needed grace this afternoon. And the grace you have now, you're going to need new grace tomorrow. God's constant favor. God, walking with God and having the favor of God. Wow. As we go down. So now, why are we going to get it? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when do we run out of grace? You never run out of grace. When does God quit giving grace? He never quits giving grace. He is grace. That's what we enjoy, trusting God. So in his wonderful grace, he's saving us. He's being God. That's what he's doing. And that's how Noah walked with God, or Enoch walked with God. Moses walked with God. That's how we walk with God. We walk with God. We receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to have an awesome relationship. Now, over in the light of this word grace, it's a root. There's a root word for it. To rejoice, to be glad, to be full of joy. Now, I want you to see that word, and then you'll see the word grace. This is the root, the plant. Out of the plant comes a whole lot of wonderful little things. Joy and grace and forgiveness, it all comes out of that plant. What's the plant? Rejoice, the verb. Over, if you would, please, to Luke. That's, you'll like that one. Luke chapter 20. And in Luke chapter 20, picking up if I can. And Luke chapter 20, where are you? Chapter 20, picking up, please. I said 20, didn't I? The reason I said 20, because I want you to go but to 20, the number 20. But we don't want to put 20 first. We want to put 20 second. So therefore, there needs to be a 10 in front of the 20. Does that come out all right? You got to put a 10. Luke 10, 20. That's a test to see if you're paying attention. Now, Luke chapter 10. And you'll notice, please, in verse 20. This is our Lord. The disciples have gone out and they've healed demons and all kinds of things. And they've been, God just gave them wonderful, wonderful as they went out up and down the land, bearing testimony the Lord was coming, and the towns were to be aware of the fact the Lord's going to come through your town. Verse 20, notwithstanding, when it's all done, they report back. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the people of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's awesome. Nothing's going to touch you. Everything's there against you. Zero. Can't touch you, like our Lord. That's how we kept Noah. Now, let's say, wow, wow. God said, don't say wow. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, there's your verb. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you. I can tell the demon to forget it. No, don't get excited about that. But rather rejoice, there's your verb again, because your names are written where? In heaven. That's what you ought to be excited about. We're down here trying to do. You want to be excited. Your name is there. Your name is there. That's awesome. Noah found grace. Moses found grace. We found grace. The word rejoice, that's the word that grace comes out of this rejoicing. Now, one other place that will help you. Over to 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, you would rightly guess, in chapter 5, God's wonderful plan. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and of the great, you want to know God's will for your life tomorrow morning? You want to know God's will? Here it is. What is God's will? What am I going to do? Well, God, what's your will? Okay. Verse 16. Rejoice. There's your little word, verb. Rejoice. Be glad. Be glad for joy. Be glad. Wow. Evermore. It's present tense. A command. Keep on rejoicing. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I can't get out of bed. My pains and heartache and everything. Rejoice. Be full of joy. Why? Your name is written in heaven, and God is doing his wonderful thing, and don't be all upset about everything. Just relax. Just relax. You're here. Hang on. We'll pick it up in this body, so you got to be here. And you know the pray without ceasing, verse 17, and everything give thanks, verse 18, etc. All of those, you want to know, pray without, never stop thanking God, looking to God, trusting God, praying, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in everything. Why? Because God is being what? God. So what do you make thanks? What am I going to thank God for? Why am I going to thank God? He's full of grace and truth. And right now, he's being gracious to us, right now. He's being gracious. And next 10 minutes from now, he's going to be gracious. And at midnight, he's going to be gracious. That's why you thank God. So what am I going to thank God for? He's being gracious to you. He's showing you his favor. How so? I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he's full of grace and truth, and all he can do is dispense that relationship of the favor of God to be saved. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, remember what we did in our studies. Here we looked at Matthew 13 and all the mysteries, and we did them, Matthew 13. Wonderful, wonderful sense of the time before the cross, all the way to the second coming at the end of the tribulation. The mysteries of the kingdom. And we looked at them. It's an awesome time. Not a good time. It's going to get like Noah, only it's going to end up in a tribulation. So now, like in Noah's day, they kept developing and developing, and no one was getting, no, they joined Cain in unbelief. Our society has gone down the road now, all these centuries, these years, and here we are now at this point in history, and the world's ready, more ready than it ever was, for the next event to happen, next events to happen. Wow! More ready than ever. And God, you've let it all happen, and it's unfolding. So as it unfolds, you're going to be gracious all the way to us as we go through and live where we are. You were gracious yesterday. You're gracious today. You're going to be gracious tomorrow. You're going to be gracious to us. That means you're going to be inclined to show favor, to bend down, to be God. You're going to be God. You're going to be for your own glory. It's going to be by your own power and grace, and you're going to do it in us, for us, and by us. That's what you're going to do. In us and for us and by us. That's what you're going to do. So therefore, so here's the mystery, and we shared together on all those mysteries that we were to be faithful stewards of those mysteries. We're to understand as what we did, and we're to understand it. Now, I'll help you maybe. Let's go back to the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, we've been building the ark and doing stuff. All these things, and the world around us is getting where it's going in unbelief. And we're doing what we do, and we live in it. Now God keeps us at year 99. God keeps us at year 110. God's still keeping us right up until year 120. God's keeping us. So what are we doing? Here we are as the history's moving, history's in, the clock is turning, the calendar's turning, all of that's happening as it does, and as it turns, God's taking care of He took care of you yesterday in His grace, and His grace. God's taking care of you right now in His grace. If you're saved, you aren't saved, then you don't know what I'm talking about. And you're saved, and God's taking care of you in His grace. And when you go to bed tonight, if you do, God's taking care of you in His grace. You just keep doing it. And say the world's going to be, it is going to be difficult. How difficult and to what degree for us, I don't know. But God is going to keep us each step of the way, a new day, new grace, to be able to get to the next thing, no matter how it is, just like in Noah. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, God is going to be, and we're to be, as we said in us, in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, we're to be faithful stewards. And we shared a whole thing on what? That God, how are we going to be faithful? Consistent. Because God is faithful. And so God is asking you, asking the believing heart, looking for the believing heart in His grace, in His favor, to be looking to, trusting in God's wonderful faithfulness. God, you're going to be gracious? Uh-huh. Then can we be thankful? Can we be trusting God in the next hour? God, you're going to be gracious in the next hour? Absolutely. Can we not be thankful, trusting God, looking to God thankfully? Sure we can. And we inch our way along, looking to God. So, with faithful stewards, how are we being faithful in God's faithfulness? Is God faithful in being gracious to you? How's that? Is God being faithful and being gracious to you if you're saved? I don't have a scam. Sure He is. Then with that, that's the stimulus of why it motivates us. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, we're to be faithful stewards of all those mysteries. And under rowers, remember what we did? Under rowers, down in the bottom of the, in the middle of the ship, we are on deck, rowing, moving in the will of God in His wonderful grace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now God, make a little more biblically clear to us. Ephesians. And then Ephesians chapter 3. So in Ephesians chapter 3, God helps us understand. Hang on now. I'm going to read verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation, stewardship, remember of 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, the wonderful, wonderful stewardship, the word stewardship, a household manager. Someone's in charge of the house, someone's in charge of making sure we get enough food, and the people everyone's doing what they're supposed to do. We have the mysteries of God. We're to understand in God's grace what He's doing. And therefore, in verse 2, you have heard of this dispensation, stewardship. Think of all the dispensations, biblically. What's our responsibility, our dispensation, our stewardship? It is of what? Grace. In this time of mysteries, we are custodians of the grace of God. Israel had the law. We have grace. It's the major item. Tribulation's all wrath. We're looking to God. We are stewards of what? The favor of God. We're to walk in the light of God, walking by faith, not by sight, in His favor. And Noah found grace in the eyes of God. We are living in grace in Christ Jesus, who saves us. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would please to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, you'll remember, verse 8, "For we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it isn't anything we do, because our old nature is wrath and idolatry, etc. So in verse 8, we're saved by grace, in God's wonderful grace. That's how we get saved. We receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's full of grace and truth. I receive the grace of God in Christ Jesus, and He provides me with an eternal understanding of being great. God's going to be favorable forever. That's what He's going to do. That's what He's going to do. So that's why the Lord said, like in Luke 10, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Rejoice. Do you understand what that means? Well, no, we're down here in 5 minutes, a year or two or three, living a little life. God said, "Do you understand what the future is? You are going to be favored forever. That's what you're going to be." Do you know what that is? That makes this look like what? Nothing. So I don't even think about it. That's why you don't glory. God said, "Don't even consider your sufferings." They're sufferings. Don't even consider them. Wow. Now, so having said that, and saved by grace. And saved by grace, God's going to do a wonderful thing. And when we're saved by grace, God's going to show His grace forever. And I'm going to pick up in verse 6 of chapter 2, since we just said forever. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together," like we shared this morning, together, sit together in heavenly places in Christ, who's full of grace and truth, that purpose in the ages to come He might show. What's He going to do forever? To show the exceeding riches of His what? His grace. See? We're nobody, but believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, or I received God's Son, you did, if you're saved, and He's full of grace and truth. And so what are you going to do? Think of what we just did this morning in the message. Witness, we are His witnesses, personal, prize, precious, particular, personal and given privilege beyond understanding. And God's going to do that forever. Why? God? Why did God save us? Because it's God's gracious. God's gracious. The Lord Jesus Christ. So what's He going to do? He's going to show His grace. Is He going to show His law? Is He going to show something else? What are we doing up there? Showing His favor. His wonderful favor. That's what we're going to do. You want to know what you're going to do in heaven? You're going to show His favor. You're going to show His favor for how long? Forever. You're going. See, and here's all the, and you have to just imagine, and they have to do that. Just think of the angels. Here's all the good angels. The bad ones are all put away. So, the bad ones put away. So all the good angels. And there they are. You have to just, God, I can't. And here we are in forever out there. And they have their assignments, and they have their awesome, everything's awesome for angels. But here are us guys finding favor with God, having a privileged relationship that's unheard of, impossible for angels. But God has made it possible for every whosoever that believes. Now, so having said that, in verse 7, "A grace in His kingdom, for by grace you say through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God. And in the process, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works," verse 10, "which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Walk. We're going to what? We're going to walk in the good works. What did Noah do? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he did what? He walked with God. What did Moses do? He found grace in the eyes of God, and he walked with God. Enoch found grace, and he walked with God. What are we doing? We are custodians of grace. We are given the stewardship of grace in this mystery time with all of these things happening and going on. We're demonstrating God's wonderful, wonderful favor and grace in a most awesome way. And therefore, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We'll walk by faith, not by sight. That's what you're doing. Walk as children of light. Walk, 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 walk. Now, why does God keep saying that? Because you're supposed to walk. You're demonstrating a relationship to God, favor, Noah walked to God, etc. That's what you're doing. You go to work, you go to school, you get out of bed, maybe, and do all the things you do. That's what you do. You're walking, looking with God, enjoying his favor, enjoying his grace. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, Ephesians, since they're here, I might as well do it. Verse 5. Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Having predestinated us, mark out ahead of time what he has in mind. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, Hebrews children, by Jesus Christ, that's how it's going to happen. To what? To have a relationship to whom? To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory. Why did God make you have such a relationship to God, personal, for his grace, to show his grace? You want to know what his grace is? God said, I'll read it again, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored in the beloved, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God has given us a wonderful, wonderful what? A relationship. And what's that? What did you read in Ephesians 2, 6, and 7? We're seated in heavenly places forever to show the grace of God. Be glad that your names are written in heaven. That's what you ought to be excited about. And that helps you get through this part. Verse 7. To whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The word forgiveness is the word. It comes out of this word rejoicing. Out of this word rejoicing comes joy, joy, rejoy. Out of the word of this comes grace. Out of this word comes a free gift. Think of Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God gives you a free gift. That's another word. And here's this word coming. Forgiveness, forgiveness. All of it coming out of rejoicing. That's why you rejoice. And you do it without ceasing. Why? Because it's an awesome thing. See, if you're looking at yourself and that, you're going to just, what do you say? But if all of this could happen, well, if I had a magic wand, which I don't, if I did, and I could touch you right now and bring you to the awesome reality of what we're reading. Would it change you? Yes, it would. If I could just touch you and the reality of all that we're reading became like that. Right? I don't see. Hey, that's us. So we lose out. We lose out in our way we are. It's just us. So shouldn't 1,000 people found grace in the eyes of the Lord and during the days of Noah? Surely 10 million people should have found grace, but only 10 found grace, as it were. Noah, 8 people. Wow. That's all. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind in God's awesome, awesome, wonderful, wonderful way, picking up if I can, to get this grace and to see it a little better over in, by the way, I do that, I didn't mean to do that. Do you see in Ephesians, Ephesians, do you see verse 2? Ephesians 2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. That's what we're looking at. Grace. You got that part? Grace. Wonderful, wonderful grace. Okay. Every letter of the New Testament starts that way except for 3. Not only does it start that way, So how critical, how wonderful is it? The first thing you know when you get to read the letter, the grace of God. So when we come to the end, Ephesians, and in chapter 6, and you'll read verse 24, grace be with you, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Remember, in sincerity means it's never disappears, never gets bad, always stays, undying love. It never quits. In sincerity, you stay with, you be consistent, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 o'clock, 10 o'clock, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to look to God for what? For His grace. Grace be with you all. How are we supposed to proceed with each other? By grace. That's how you do it. That's how you're going to do it. Over to Colossians. But all of that's true. Now, over to Colossians. And we sort of lost it a little bit, but I hope you're getting a little bit, though. I'm just chatting. Colossians. And you'll notice, please. Colossians 2, or 3. I said 3, but do 2. That shows you how consistent we are. Colossians 2, sliding down, if I can, to verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive, together with him. How so? Having, what did he do to make this relationship awesome? Because, and grace is grace, having forgiven you all trespasses, the word forgiven, coming out of the grace, forgiven. He's been gracious. Favor. He forgives. That's how you get saved. Christ died on the cross and saves us in His grace. Chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Why? Because we're saved by grace. So apart from God's grace, we're just the plain old human beings like everybody else, and we're just like them. They're like us, and we're like them in one form or another, in one way or another, at a given time, and we have to live with that. That's what we do. We live among us humans. Therefore, rejoice that you aren't living among, rejoice that you have good humans around you. No, rejoice that your name's written in heaven. You aren't trusting the system. You aren't trusting your friends. You aren't trusting your family. You're trusting God. All of us can fail, no question. God won't fail. Now, so therefore, in verse 13, twice, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have quarrel against any, as Christ forgave, there's your word again, forgave you, so also do you. So God, how are we saved? By grace. It isn't our works. It isn't our anything. It's God's wonderful grace that saves us in a most, most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way to save us. Now, in the light of that, over, if I can, to 2 Corinthians. And you'll find Corinthians, we can't do it because of time. If you read turn your pages. It begins, after the letter begins, the grace of God. The letter ends, grace of God. Why? Because you got to have the grace of God. Everything in between it is governed by grace. It all happens because of God's grace. Christ died on the cross. He's full of grace and truth. So now, here's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And you know the wonderful, wonderful statement of all of them. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace. Christ is full of grace and truth. When does he run out? He never runs out. He never runs out. Nope. Verse 8, he is able to make all grace abound toward you. That purpose, ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now Noah, that's what Noah could build the ark in 120 years. It probably took him that too. to do that big thing. And now, what are you going to do? Now God gives grace. That's what he does. And so when you slide over in this, in the context of this chapter, in verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. So they're looking for the Corinthians to do what they're supposed to do, to give, to care, to produce, to enjoy the grace of God, to enjoy the grace of God, the exceeding grace of God in you. Now, verse 25, you know, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift. The word thanks, remember, is the word grace. But when you say grace from God, it's favor comes in your direction. When you respond to the favor of God, it's translated thanks. What are you doing? You're responding to the favor of God. You aren't rebelling against it. You're receiving it. John 1, 14, 16, receiving grace upon grace. And all you can do is say what? Thank you. That's the word. Same word, grace, our response. Our response, objectively, subjectively, we're responding to God's favor. Favorably, how's that? We're responding to God's favor favorably. That's what we're doing. Call thanks. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory, etc. Same word. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, God, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's unspeakable gift. Thank, and all we can do is say, thank you, God. John 1, 14 and 16, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is full of grace and full of grace and truth. Now, and so in the light of that, in the light of that, over we can to 2 Corinthians and chapter 13. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, remember our stewardship now is grace. You want to know what you hear, if you're interested in doing it. God gives you all the information, which is why we mysteries, we're to understand mystery of lawlessness and godliness and all of those different mysteries. We're to understand them and understand where history's going. And we aren't getting buried by it or bothered by it in the wrong way. We're looking for God to be gracious to us, to show favor. What did Noah do? He showed favor to all those people for 120 years. Moses, what do you want to do? Moses found grace in the eyes of God. So as long as Moses is around, they aren't going to, and even with Joshua for a while. But you don't go against Moses. Moses, we may want to, if he didn't come down from the mountain, down, remember they wanted to make an idol, a golden calf and all that. If he didn't come down, they'd get away with it. But if he came back down that mountain, you better get rid of that calf. And Moses himself, didn't he? He took the tablets of stone that he had in his hand and broke them. And that judgment of God, whoops. And that has never disappeared. The Israelites have never got rid of, not yet, the judgment of that. By that I mean, they want to get back to Egypt. They want the golden calf. They want to be like the world. That's why they're going to make a what? Revelation 13, they're going to make a treaty, a seven-year contract with the Antichrist. You say they'd never do that. Yes, they would. They never get rid of the golden calf. They're going to make a treaty. That's what they're going to do. Now God's going to help them. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, chapter 13. And Noah and God helped Paul, you know, with his physical thing and all of these things. He sent a thorn up. Paul had a physical problem. He sent me I'll read verse 7 a little bit quickly. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Now the problem is, he has been able to taste in God's wonderful grace a bit of heaven. That's what God lifted him up. He said, I don't know whether I was alive or what. All I know is I saw it. Wow. Now how do you get him back to earth? God made him have difficulties physically, so that he could hang in there. And now, so Paul says, listen, why do I have to have this physical problem? Because if you give me a physical problem, then you know you've got a problem, right? If you feel good, do you feel any part of your body? If you feel good. What happens if you don't feel good? Don't feel good. And you broke your arm and or something, and you don't feel good. Don't you know you don't feel good in the morning? Don't you know you still don't feel good at night? Don't you know you don't feel good? Why? Because you got the physical problem that you're conscious of. God, what did you do to Paul? I gave him a physical problem. So he had to stay earthly. And now, God, how are you going to keep us humans, in verse 9? I sought the Lord three times, and God said, nothing doing. Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace, there you are, is sufficient for thee, is enough. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, said Paul, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, God, you let all that happen? And you're back to earth because it doesn't go away? Right. And you're going to be what? Conscious of God's grace, which is enough. Which is what we started with. Noah walked with God and found grace. That's how we could live 120 years and make it. He found grace. That's what he did. So, you getting a little bit? It's your stewardship is the grace of God. We're living in the time. Here's the wrath of God. We're here showing the grace of God. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Inhale. That's our stewardship. We are be found faithful stewards of the grace of God. In closing, overview into Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. And you will note, Revelation chapter 1, picking up please in verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. God, what do they all need to know? The grace of God. Here's the churches, Revelation 2 and 3. What do they need to know? They are stewardship. Their stewardship is grace. The epistles, all of them, starts with grace. It ends with grace. What are they supposed to do? We're stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what we're stewards of, the grace of God. Now, then I turn the next chapters, and I have to go chapters 2, 3, and to the churches, grace of God. And chapters 4, I have to go all the way to chapter 21. And there's no grace. It's in Revelation, it's all wrath. Wrath. No more grace. You won't find a word. No more grace. Except when he's done telling you how it's all going to go. Then you go to Revelation 22, the close, and you'd be right when you think about it in the light of the rest of the New Testament. Revelation chapter 22, picking up in verse 22, 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come, present tense, I am coming quickly. So when you want to ask God, come, he said, I'm in the process of coming. Like now, here we are sitting here and reading and thinking, and God said, I'm in the process of coming right now. Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's what we say. And conclusion, God, how are we going to make it? Verse 23, 20, 20, 21, and grace be The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth, be with you all. Amen. Now, how could you get easier than that? John 1:14, he's full of grace and truth. John 1:16, he's going to keep ending day in and day out, endless grace, all the way into forever. That's what he's going to do. So what are we going to say when we're all done? God, looking at everything, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You can't do better than that. Grace of God in Christ. So I don't look at the grace. I don't need a thing that says grace of God. I just need to trust the God of grace in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, who we received as our Savior. Full of grace and truth. It's a wonderful thing. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. Not many people think about these things. And that's why we're at where we're at, across the country, across the globe. Father and God, thank you for your word and everything. Help us understand a little bit. God, thank you very much. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.